Hey, welcome to Braves Country.
Coming up on the Braves Country podcast, Georgia Peach, Calista Clark. She's got a hit on country radio called It's 'Cause I Am. She signed with Big Machine Nashville at 15. She's performed on stage with some of the biggest names in country music, including performing at the Grand Ole Opry. She sang the national anthem for the Braves, and since we did this podcast, she actually sang the national anthem for the Braves again during this World Series run. I can't wait for you to meet Calista Clark next on Braves Country. This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Braves fans, this is Calista Clark, and you're listening to Braves Country Podcast on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Welcome to Braves Country. My name is Tug Coward, along with Scott Munn. This is a podcast where we talk about just growing up in the South. And if you're like me and Scott and Calista, then you grew up here in Georgia, and you grew up knowing all about the Braves and the Bulldogs and college football and eating good barbecue and just all the things that country folks like to do.
Good Southern living.
That's exactly right. Good old clean Southern living. 18-year-old Calista Clark has a whole lot to say in her music, and people are listening. A singer, songwriter, musician, soulful Southern delivery. And her videos have about 70 million views. Her country roots came from growing up in Zebulon, Georgia, and she's taken root in Nashville with Big Machine. And she has been a part of country music with and performed and been just around some of the biggest names in country. But she's still a Georgia girl at heart and loves the Braves. Calista Clark, welcome to Braves Country.
Thank y'all. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it is going to be. It's so much fun. It's funny because I've been working country radio for, well, my whole life, ever since I got out of the United States Navy about 20 plus years ago. And it's the only thing I know how to do. And I know that you, being born and raised here just like me, big Braves fan. So tell us about being a Braves fan. What's some of your best Braves memories?
Well, I've heard about the Braves my whole life. You know, you got to support the home team, and my whole family, we definitely do. And growing up, I played softball. My sister played softball. My brother played baseball. My cousin still plays baseball. So it's just always been a huge part of our lives. And for me, now that I've started to pursue music, it's been really amazing that I've also gotten to perform the national anthem at the Braves Stadium, which was so fun. So it's all been like full circle moments, and it's really special.
No, it has to be. I understand that completely. So, somebody, singing the national anthem is probably your best Braves memory. But other than that, like, is there a Braves game that stood out to you? One, whether you either went to the game or you saw it on television, listened to it on the radio?
I feel like one of the biggest memories of mine, when I did play softball, I also got to walk the bases with my softball team. So that was a really fun memory, and I think that was really amazing.
Yeah, where'd you go to high school?
I'm still in high school.
Oh, well, yeah. Where do you go to high school? I guess as you're, because it's funny because I have a 17-year-old son, and he goes to Alpharetta. He's a baseball player and all that sort of stuff too. So I guess I should restate that. Where do you go to high school?
Well, I'm actually homeschooled. I just turned 18. I'm a senior this year. And before I was homeschooled, though, I went to Pike County.
Okay, Pike County. Cool. Okay, because so my son's at Alpharetta High School. So it's we're always at the ball field. We're always doing something with the school. We're selling, you know, we're selling Christmas wrapping paper to, you know, pay for some new helmets or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So you did a tremendous job singing the national anthem at the Braves game in 2019. And then the beginning of the 2021 season, you obviously kicked them off well again. So what was it like for you to sing the national anthem at a Braves home game? Were you nervous at all?
Oh, very. I think no matter where I'm singing the national anthem, it's always the most nerve-wracking song you could possibly sing. That and Happy Birthday, to me, for some reason, are the hardest ones to sing. I don't know why, but the national anthem is definitely the hardest, especially when you're doing it in front of the Braves, a stadium full of people, and like TV, you know, the whole thing. It's a lot, but it was so much fun. Very, very special for sure. And I can't wait to come back.
Yeah. So who, in your opinion, outside of yourself, because I'm sure you did an incredible job, who has sung the national anthem the most beautiful in your opinion?
Ooh, like ever?
Ever.
Of all time?
Yes.
Yeah, at a sporting event.
Okay. Yeah. We'll narrow it to a sporting event.
Hmm.
I mean, like Whitney Houston here in Atlanta, Faith Hill here in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, that I thought about Whitney first. I mean, that's like the most iconic national anthem of all time. I feel like I have to say that one.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense that you would. And,
yeah.
and you've got great taste and obviously a great artist in your own right. So you recognize incredible talent. So that leads me to the next question, because my family on this past Saturday, we were dialed to the TV. We actually had tickets to go to the Georgia game, but my son Jacob had to work, so we so he missed the first half. And it was
a Bulldogs home game.
I'm telling you, it was a
debacle.
He works at Onward Reserve out at Avalon in Alpharetta, and they sell all kinds of, you know, like college attire and apparel and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a really cool store, but we're all huge Georgia Bulldog fans, and I've heard that your father Nick, he went to UGA, so you've grown up bleeding red and black.
Yes, he did go to UGA, and we are definitely Georgia Bulldog fans, and it is a good day in Pike County, Georgia when they win back-to-back, let me tell you.
Here, here. People lose their mind. You got Georgia shirts everywhere. You got the Georgia flags flying out of the cars.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
all of the things.
It's big time, no doubt about it. Do you have big memories of going to Georgia games or watching them on TV?
I've actually never been to a Georgia game.
Oh, my heavens.
We got to fix that. Yeah, yeah.
Goodness gracious.
I know. I need to go.
You do?
I think they sing the national anthem before those games over there.
Every time. Seems like a great fit for you, I think. But,
right? I'm in.
Yeah, so big Georgia fan. What do you think the odds are of repeating a 1980 or shaking the fact that you've not won a national championship since 1980 this year?
Well, I will say, I don't want to jinx anything, it's sounding like, it's looking good.
Yeah,
so
it is.
So far, we're doing good.
Absolutely, we are.
Now, we hear that you started singing in church, and actually the church where your grandfather is the pastor, and that you still sing in church every Sunday. Is that right?
Yes, I did grow up singing in church, and I've been traveling a whole lot, but whenever I'm at home, I still live in Zebulon, Georgia, so whenever I'm home, I still go sing at that church.
No, that's awesome.
It's a very important place to me.
Yeah, my family goes to Perimeter in Johns Creek, and they don't want me singing ever for anyway. They've actually many people turn around and tell me not to sing when we're getting the choir's warming up before the pastor starts. But I know faith is something that's really important to you.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, it's the first place I ever sang. Still my favorite place to sing, and it really taught me to put, you know, your music and the words that you're saying and in front of, like, for me, I grew up really, really shy. So singing in church was the first place I ever sang at. It was really the only place that I wanted to, because I knew that it wasn't about me, if that makes sense. I knew that it was about worshiping and it was about other things. So that was the first place that I ever sang at. And it helped me to sing other places and just kind of put it past just me and focus on how it made other people feel.
No, I love that. And faith is really important to my family, too. So I can so relate to what you're saying. And It's so impressive to me that country has its roots so deep in its faith. And I see that all the time. And sometimes it's tongue-in-cheek, like God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy, right? So sometimes it's funny. But then there's those moments like Go Rest High on the Mountain with Vince Gill. But country, I think, more than any other genre, really embraces the faith and the roots that it came from.
I would totally agree with that. I think so.
Yeah. Calista, what's your favorite gospel song or song that you sing in church?
How Great Thou Art.
Oh, my gosh. Love, love, love that song. And I would love to hear your version of it. Have you ever recorded any of that stuff? And do you release it, if so?
I haven't done anything official yet.
Okay.
For a while, I did a lot of covers. So I've posted a version of that and a few other gospel songs, but I would love to do official versions of them.
Yeah, like Alan Jackson and Alabama and all those artists over the years that have put out great gospel albums.
Now, Sunday morning, it's in church, but the rest of the week, you started wanting to play out at shows in some of the Atlanta venues around here, and I know you started kind of playing at Eddie's Attic in Decatur, and that's an amazing listening room here in Atlanta, for those of you who don't know yet. And what did you take away from your time playing shows at Eddie's Attic?
Eddie's Attic is one of my favorite venues to play at, still to this day, and it's a very, very special venue to me. The first show I ever did, just me and my guitarist, that wasn't a fair or something where we just happened to be there and people were also there and just listened to us play, was Eddie's Attic. And I was so worried that I wasn't going to be able to sell tickets. I didn't know how it was going to go. I didn't think anyone would want to listen to my stories and my songs that I had written. But the first time I played there, I was 14 and I sold out Eddie's Attic. And I've now played there like five different times and I've sold it out every single time. And I really love everybody there. And yeah, it was the first time when I realized that people were there to hear me tell my stories. They were here to hear all the newest things that I've written, even if I felt like they weren't perfect yet. It's about those little moments. So I really, really love it.
Yeah, oh my gosh. With all the legendary artists that have played Eddie's Attic over the years, I know that has to be a special spot for you. That makes perfect sense.
And that sign on stage left there, that sign that asks people to just hush and pay attention is really, really helpful, isn't it?
Yes, I love that sign, and it's true, but it makes me feel a little uncomfortable. I've seen that, like, you know, I've been playing, and then they go shush someone, and you have to keep singing, you're like, oh, they just got shushed, oh, what's happening?
Y'all pipe down over there!
It's really serious in there, Tug, that's why we call it a listening room.
No, I know, exactly, no, that's right, no, I wouldn't argue that to save my life. It's funny, going back to the Braves, I actually went to a show there with the Braves manager, Brian Snitker. And we went and saw Chase Darnot's band, who Chase used to play for the Braves, and he is now he's retired from Major League Baseball. But his brother's the current catcher for the Atlanta Braves.
Travis,
yeah, Travis Darnot. Both guys have played for the Braves. But yeah, Chase was also a musician, a budding musician at the time, and so he played Eddie's Attic, and me and Coach Snitker went over there and saw him play. It was so cool.
Did you get shushed?
Awesome.
I didn't get shushed, but I try to be very respectful anywhere I go, Scott.
Yeah. I would never
get yelled at or shushed because I know to be on my best behavior when I'm seeing a live venue or seeing a live show at a venue. But I want to talk more about music, Calista. Like, you posted a Creedence Clearwater Revival song on Facebook, and I love CCR. I love John Fogerty. And that song went viral for you, 27 million views. So the fact that you chose the CCR song gives me question mark.
Yeah, but
that's a really cool band to choose. So how'd you choose that, and what was it like to get 27 million views?
Okay, so obviously I grew up singing in church, so gospel music had a huge part and still does in my artistry and in my influences and my sound now. But I also grew up listening to 80s and 90s country. I also grew up listening to Southern rock and Motown, classic rock, all the things. So that's all I knew growing up was the classic music, stuff that sounds like it could be on a record, and gospel music.
Oh,
that's
I
knew. And as I got older, I started to listen to more R&B, pop, things like that. But that's all I knew. So I had started doing covers a little while before that. And I was on vacation at the beach. I was at St. George Island, and my granddad said that I should bring back some CCR for my cover, because it's one of the songs that my brother actually used to sing when we would go around singing places in my hometown. And I was like, okay, and looked up the chords. I had no idea if it was right or not. You can barely even see me in the video because it was so dark outside. And I just posted it, not thinking anything of it. And like you said, it's one of my biggest videos now to this day. And I honestly can't believe it. It was very shocking.
Oh, that's awesome, though. I love the fact that you love that music. It's funny because, and I hope this is okay, that I can so relate to some of the things you're saying, because my son is right. He's like a year younger than you. And I tell him all the time, I'm like, you have to understand that old music is just new music to you, right? There's so much stuff that's there that you will love that you've just not heard yet. And you have to give it a chance, because it's easy to dismiss an old song or something that you know, an aunt or an uncle or a mom or a dad even listened to. It's easy to dismiss that when you're younger, and you obviously don't, because you understand the power of music. And it took my son a little while to be able to get that, to wrap his head around that. And now he listens to Fishing in the Dark and Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah, same. I used to sing Fishing in the Dark with my sibling. That's a good one.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I definitely don't dismiss those songs. They're definitely my favorites, and they're the classics, you know? You have to appreciate those first, and no one else is doing anything like that. You can't ever get those songs back. No one will ever be able to recreate those moments, so you have to appreciate the classics.
Yeah, no doubt. Don't stop.
She didn't say you have to sing them.
Oh, yeah, no,
she
right,
didn't say
that.
You have to sing them. Just appreciate them.
That's why I almost get kicked out of church. That's what I was just telling you about. I can't. There's definitely, I'm not going to sing anything and not do it, or at least not
beautiful.
Do it well.
You almost did.
No, yeah, seriously. No, I get carried away. I don't mean to. It just happens. It just comes out, man. And I feel like Steve Perry, or that little man that sings on the Journey.
Prince?
No, I'm talking about the dude that took Steve Perry's place in Journey.
Little man. Why's it got to be little? What's up with that?
Steve Perry's a little guy, too. I don't know. He's the guy short.
Hey, Calista, I have to stand up to him for the vertically challenged all the time.
Well, no, but I'm not the tallest guy in the world
that's
either.
That's why he hangs out with me, because I make him look tall.
That's not true at all. That's not true at all.
I'm sure that's not true.
No, it's not, because Scott's a really, really nice guy, but I do tower over him at my gigantic 5'10", with my gigantic 5'10" stature.
He can dunk on me when we use the 5-foot goal.
Oh, yeah, on a mini hoop. Yeah, definitely about that. That's exactly right. You've done something that I think is so incredible. Is not only embracing music and singing, but you're not a stranger to picking up an instrument. And a lot of people that sing really well don't play a lot of instruments, but you play 8 instruments. That's pretty impressive.
Thank you. I started on ukulele when I was 10. And I would highly recommend starting on that one, since it is so small and easier to play.
Sure.
If you're a 10-year-old girl with small hands. Then I moved to acoustic guitar. I'm self-taught on everything, so I truthfully don't know what I'm doing a whole lot. Like, it's pretty hysterical. Lately, I've been trying to do tutorials for my songs that I've released. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, well, you know, I do this, and then I do this. But then you guys should tell me what it is that I'm doing, because I don't really know. But, like, you tell me, I don't know. So, yeah.
That's so cool, though. I would imagine, though, people that see that are like, oh my gosh, I could actually teach her something here.
Yeah.
Yes.
We can all teach each other something.
Yeah, right?
You know?
I think that's
the most
really
relatable tutorial ever.
It is. I think that's so cool, though. How down to earth does it, I mean, and I know you're down to earth. You're a country artist. Most country artists are down to earth. 99% of them are. But I don't think a lot of people realize that often. They think, oh, big country star. And that's not who you are. And that's not who most country artists are. So for them to see you being vulnerable like that and saying, I don't really know what I'm doing, I just do it like this, I think that is so endearing to people.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, being myself, I don't really have another choice. I mean, I could lie about it, but you know.
Yeah, right. People would see through it real quick.
I hear that your latest instrument is a keytar. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have it. It's right beside me.
Wow. How did that happen?
Quarantine.
Right. Quarantine.
Boredom.
I was real bored.
That's so funny.
There's got to be a keytar song in the future, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay, well, somebody's just, if you don't mind, just we could just take a quick pause here, because I don't know what a keytar is.
Oh, go ahead, Calista.
Okay, so I think it was like really popular in the 80s.
Yep.
It looks like it. If it wasn't, goodness.
But
it's just a keyboard with a lot of different effects.
Oh!
And it's on your hip.
Yes, I do know what that is. I saw it in an 80s video on MTV growing up.
It's a guitar-shaped keyboard.
Okay, yes.
I know it's very simple to understand. It's literally a keyboard guitar.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, I feel like an idiot right now. So.
No, you're doing fine.
It's a guitar.
That's right. Yeah. Like, I thought it was going to be something, like, spectacular that I'd never even imagined before.
Oh, it's spectacular,
I mean, I know
right?
it's spectacular, but, I mean, I thought it would be something, like, from Mars that I'd never even considered.
That's all right, Tug. You can teach us about different kind of radio mics and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, but nobody wants to know about that. We're using the Shure SM7B right now.
Oh, fantastic.
And it was the same microphone that Michael Jackson used.
It's the keytar of microphones.
Recorded, yeah, it is. And he recorded Thriller on the SM7B. But
I have an SM7 right here.
Sister.
Wow.
Look at us go.
There we go.
Look, I'm telling you what. See, we do connect. We know. See, Scott, back
I know.
Up.
Okay.
You know the keytar. I know the SM7B. This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
At least we can admit we know the keytar, though. A lot of people are ashamed of their keytar fandom, and I love that you're playing that. That's really cool.
That's disappointing if somebody is upset about that one. But.
Now, I wanted to ask you, we're talking to Calista Clark here on the Braves Radio Network. Welcome to Braves Country, and let's get into your first EP, Real to Me. It's a great collection of soulful country pop magic. And your first country radio single, Cause I Am, man, it is great. It's a fun pop anthem, and it's already broken the top 40. It's got the same energy, in my estimation, as Alanis Morissette had in her big debut single, You Ought to Know. It just tells it like it is. Would you tell us about creating that song and what it means to you?
When I wrote It's 'Cause I Am, it was at the end of 2019, and I was supposed to go into studio top of 2020, and I thought I had all the songs that I was going to go into studio with. And so I was with two of my favorite co-writers, Laura Veltz and Cameron James. It was a very last minute write. And I went in and I was just telling them about some of the things I had been going through, where I felt like people weren't really taking me seriously for my dreams and things that I wanted to do, whether it was because I was a girl, because I was young, just all the things. I had this one moment in particular where I was at a Starbucks in Nashville, and I had my guitar in my hand, and this older guy just sees a young girl with a guitar in Nashville and just looked at me and was like, good luck.
Oh, no.
And I just turned around and I looked at him and I smiled and I said, thank you very much. And then I walked back out. And so, yeah, just moments like that inspired this song, and I wrote it, and I didn't hold anything back. Like you said, it's very sassy. It's very out there, and it, like you said, it's what it is. And my team heard it, and we all just kind of fell in love with it for what it was. And I feel like it's a great way to introduce myself to the world as a new artist.
I think you're right. And you know, it shows that you have such a strong sense of self already at such a young age. And what do you attribute that to?
I think it has a lot to do with my roots and my family and growing up in a small town. But also, like we were talking about, just my different musical influences. I've always been told that I'm an old soul, which is one of my favorite compliments ever to get. But I also just really appreciate the classics. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Even my sound as an artist, just that was my biggest goal, was to write something that's relatable to any age, but sounds like it could be on a record. So
now, Calista, if you don't mind, I'm going to read a few of the lyrics to It's Cause I Am. I'm MVP in your little league. You can't keep up, and I'm going to get bored. Great baseball reference there, Tug, don't you think?
Yeah.
I love that. 100%.
And then we might be born the same year, but we're not the same age. And if I seem too complicated for you, it's cause I am. That is amazing. I love how you're standing up for yourself there. And the music video is incredible, too. I really love it. At the start of the video, Tug, when you've seen it, right? Calista, when you ask your date to turn on the radio in his convertible and he says he doesn't like music, I cringe for that kid I cringe for the guy because I can tell that she's just about to go off on him. And then she does, and that poor kid never had a chance. Who is that kid?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I love that part of the video. I think it's truly hilarious. But he's an actor, and so the story behind this was hilarious. We were trying to find a guy that would just be kind of blank in his facial expressions. Just one of those people.
That wasn't hard. That probably wasn't hard.
That's most every boy I know.
Right. Well, you can say that. I won't.
That's right. I will. I'll take the full blame.
Yeah.
But so him talking about it was so hilarious. He was like, well, when I sent in my audition video, I didn't want you to think I was actually like blank and had nothing going for me. So I was just trying to figure out how much, how little, you know, what I should do. But no, it was a really fun day. It went really well, I think.
That's so funny. And it's brilliant. The fact that the video has that in there, that I don't like music, because I'll take you back to when I met my wife. And one of the very first things I said to her. So just to give you some background, I was in the Navy, and I'm from Georgia. My wife's from upstate New York, and her and I were stationed, her cousin and I were stationed on the same ship. She came down to visit. So that's kind of the background of how we were introduced in Virginia Beach. And when I asked her, when I first met her, I was like, can I get your bags? And she said, no. And I was like, oh, okay, let me get the door for you. And she's like, I got it. I was like, okay. I was like, all right. Well, I was like, well, you know, just trying to be polite and nice. And she was not having any of it. And I say to her, what kind of music do you like? And the first thing out of her mouth, I don't like music. So, yeah, so I can so relate to that because she was putting up the wall. She had no interest in talking to me. And, you know, later we broke down the barriers and now have been married 20 years. But it was just so funny when I heard that. It took me right back to Virginia Beach, Virginia, because I lived that.
Aw, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's very relatable. It's kind of that first date vibe, you know?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's super, super cool. So you signed with Big Machine, and a dear friend of mine works there, Jeff Davis, who is an incredible guy. Loved to death.
I love Jeff Davis.
Yeah, he is a huge Braves fan as well.
Yes.
But you were signed at 15. That's pretty remarkable. What's it been like for you to work with big Nashville record executives like Scooter Braun and Scott Borchetta, who's a really – I've never met Scooter, but I met Scott before, and he's such a nice guy. And so what's it like working with those type people, that caliber?
It's honestly really incredible. I started working with Scooter when I was 13, and I started working with Scott and Big Machine team when I was 14. And then, yeah, signed when I was 15. And I honestly still can't believe it because they're all such a big deal and so incredible. Like you said, amazing people, so good at their jobs, so intelligent about everything. And so every time I'm around them, I just try and learn as much as I can because I still can't believe that they saw something in me as an artist and wanted to invest in me and my career to see where it would go. And so it's just really incredible.
No, it is. And I work at 101.5 here in Atlanta as well as work with the Braves Radio Network. So I've played your song a bunch of times and I've heard it. And the fact that you work with those type people shows you what your future can be like. What is it like just to be in contact with other artists that are on that label that have done incredible things in their lives?
That's honestly been one of my favorite parts of all of this. Just coming out of quarantine, I have really looked forward to being able to play my songs that are released, have It's Cause I Am on the radio, and play them in front of humans every night and get to watch more and more people know the lyrics and just watch it grow and see what happens. But something that's been so special that I never thought about is going to different shows, opening for different artists, and having them know who I am. Artists that I've listened to on the radio, artists that I've looked up to for years, and they know who I am. They know my single, and sometimes they even like start singing it to me, which is insane, and it's some of my favorite moments.
It's so flattering, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
Yeah, no, it's super cool. I mean, if you think about Big Machine, I mean, because you sang with Jennifer Nettles, you know, before, and that's incredible. But I mean, Justin Moore and Rascal Flatts and Florida Georgia Line and all these are on the Big Machine label group. I mean, being around these type of people has to be such an inspiration, not only of what you can achieve, but what's ahead of you. What might Calista do that these guys have never done, the gals have never done?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I'm excited to see all of that. And all the people you just named are incredible people. I've met them, and I truly love all of them. And they're all, like you said, super down to earth. It's just really incredible.
So who's your favorite artist of all time? Like, if I were to say, I would have to say Waylon Jennings or George Strait. Like, where do you fall? Can you name one?
I don't know if I can name one because I listen to so many types of music.
Okay, well, give me a couple different genres and a couple. We won't even say it's your favorite, but give me a couple artists that you
current
listen
favorites,
to.
Current favorites.
Yeah, no, or even just artists that you like from a particular genre.
There you go.
Okay. From country, Garth Brooks.
Okay.
The Judds.
Yes, mm-hmm. ma'am.
The Chicks.
All right.
Luke Combs.
Love him.
And...
No, I mean, that's a great list. I mean, that's a
pretty good show.
Like, narrow it down. Let's just stick with
those. That's those are great.
And also, Jennifer Nettles, of course, has got to be one of your favorites because if you don't mind going back in history for a minute here, way back in 2016 when you were only 12 years old at a 4-H event, you crushed a duet with Jennifer Nettles and y'all did Baby Girl. She said that you were fearless before she introduced you. That performance was just magical. I've got to admit, I watched it a few times getting ready to talk to you, and a couple tears came into the eyes there. And can you tell us how that happened and what it meant to you to sing with Jennifer Nettles at 12?
Well, thank you. Yeah, she's one of the sweetest people I've ever met in my whole life. And I'm glad she thought I was fearless. I definitely was terrified. And I had just started playing guitar not long before we did that. Like you said, both on acoustic guitars. I got to do that because we were both in a 4-H group through Georgia 4-H called Clovers and Company, where the kids play the instruments, they're the band, the kids are dancing, the kids are singing, and it's a show choir. And we were both in it when we were growing up, and so I got to do a few different 4-H campaigns with her, and then she invited me to come perform with her.
Jennifer Nettles is awesome, and I came up in the same club with her at the 40 Watt Club in Athens, Georgia, and she was playing with a band at the time called Soul Miner's Daughter. Ask her about that next time you see her. Fantastic band. And then she, of course, had the Jennifer Nettles band. And then when I saw her in Nashville one time when I was up there working with Porter Wagner and Marty Stewart and Shooter Jennings and such, and I was backstage after a Sugarland show, and she was just surrounded by paparazzi and people going crazy trying to get her autograph and interview her, and she stopped everything and came over to see me, and she said, "Scott, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I'm working with these guys." And she's just like, we're doing it. And she's just always, and then when you see her even now, and she's like a huge international star, and she's just so down to earth and cool. And I hope you'll keep in touch with her and do some more stuff with her, because she's just a Georgia
A+.
A Georgia peach, man. She's awesome.
Me too. Yeah. She's incredible.
So going to back to July 30th, you did something that a lot of people dream of doing, and you got to play the Grand Ole Opry for the first time. You said it was an absolute dream come true on Instagram, which I completely agree with. So tell us about the performance and what it was like to stand there in the circle.
Oh my goodness. It was the most magical day ever, and everyone there is so nice, and I was beyond nervous and so scared, and my entire family was in the audience, so I was trying not to make eye contact with any of them, or I knew I would just cry and lose it completely. Now, as if I didn't, I did cry, but I didn't completely lose it, so I was proud of myself. I mean, it was amazing, and I just this past weekend performed at the Opry for my fourth time, and so it's been really awesome, and I can't wait to go back there as much as I can.
Oh, no, it's an amazing place. I know a few folks are members of the Grand Ole Opry, and man, they all describe it the exact same way. It really is remarkable. All right, so let's get to something that I love because, I just like to eat too much most often. I like to talk about Southern food because I love mom and pops and meat and threes, and I love a good barbecue joint. When you're eating, where are some of the best places you eat? Like some Southern restaurants throughout the Southeast and in your hometown of Zebulon or in Nashville or in Atlanta, wherever. Where's your favorite place to grab something to eat?
Okay. Well, my favorite place in my hometown is, in fact, a barbecue place.
That a girl.
Knew it.
And it's called Oink Joint, and it's great.
Oink Joint.
Write that down.
That's going on. That's going on the list. That is going on the list.
We have.
I was writing it down. I love it.
What's your standard order at the Oink Joint?
I get a Reuben and mac and cheese.
That a girl.
There you go.
Know how to live.
Sweet tea?
I do. I love that y'all wrote it down. That's so funny to me.
No, I ain't kidding, man. We just wrote it down. And a matter of fact, I'm mapping it to Google Maps.
We're going there after the show. Is it? What about sweet tea and banana pudding? Any of that?
Not for me. Y'all are going to kill me. I'm about to be really honest. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't drink sweet tea.
Me either.
Hey, that's okay.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
yay.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like any kind of tea, to be honest with you. And I get beat up. And it's clear that I'm born and raised in Georgia, in the Northwest Georgia Mountains up in Dalton. But people are like, you don't like sweet tea? And I'm like, nope, I sure don't. And it's like it blows people away. They can't believe it.
I'm not alone this
You
time.
Are not.
Not
no,
alone.
Look, we're walking arm in arm like an army of anti-sweet tea
Well,
folks.
Y'all are smart because y'all are very smart because the doctor had to hold me down and make me stop drinking sweet tea. So, you know, you're way ahead of the game. You're way ahead of the game.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so that leads me into another question then. So, quickly, other than sweet tea, what's something else that people expect you'll eat that you don't? Just like for me, I'll give you an example. For me, I don't really like macaroni.
Oh, wow. That's sad. Macaroni's good.
Well, you just turned on me like a viper.
Wait, I know. She just said mac and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese?
Oh, you did. I didn't hear that. See,
she said she loves mac and cheese. So.
I gotcha.
Now you're hating on mac and cheese.
Well, no, but that's just one. Okay, I'll give you another. I don't like cinnamon. I don't like apple pie.
Man.
I agree.
Okay.
All this pumpkin stuff that's coming around with fall, ooh, I'm not a fan. I don't do cinnamon or any of that.
No, I don't like any of that
stuff. We're anti-pumpkin spice around here.
We are. Yeah.
I'm sorry,
So, Calista Clark, what's coming up for you next? We hear you'll be joining us at 101.5 Fest in Alpharetta, of course, with Brantley Gilbert. What's your plan for touring in 2022? And also, are you getting ready to record any new music? Tell us about the future.
Well, I sure am coming to see y'all, and I'm excited about it, and I can't wait to see Brantley again. But, I mean, like I said before, for me, I'm just really, really excited about seeing people again in person and getting to play a lot of new songs that aren't released so I can kind of see what to go back into studio with. So you guys let me know when you hear my
Absolutely.
Set.
We will. I'll see you backstage at 101.5 Fest. I've been at that radio station for, 15 years now, it seems. And so it'll be nice to meet you in person. It's always great to talk to up-and-coming country stars, and you have a hit on your hands, and the sky's the limit. It's because of how sweet you are and how terrific you are and the fact that you're grounded in your faith. I think that's the biggest thing, and how supportive your family is. I don't think there's anything that replaces those things. So congratulations, and continue to do all the things that you dream to do, and don't ever let anybody tell you no. Thank you so much for joining us on Braves Country. We hope you'll come back anytime and let Braves fans know what you're up to. We'll be watching for you and rooting for you here on the Braves Radio Network. And the next time you're here near the park, we want to invite you up to the studios and bring a guitar and play a couple songs because you are officially part of Braves Country.
Thank you guys so much. This was amazing.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. When was the last time you went to a Braves game?
I think the last one I went to was when I sang the national anthem this last time.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, then.
Yeah.
Well, then, go nice. Braves! Go Dawgs! Continued success, Calista.
Thank y'all for having me.
You bet. Have the best day ever.
You too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.